Wonderful to see you here this morning. Time goes by very fast, doesn't it? Seems like every week I'm kind of going, oh, another Sunday. It was so bad, but it's so wonderful just to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that we are here because of what He has done for us, not what we have done for Him. So we just rejoice in that, and that's why we sing these songs, we come together and listen to these words, and I pray that, you know, the Father will speak to us today through His Word. Today, we are in John 15, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible, and I have some things as well up on the screen that we'll be looking at. We're walking with Jesus to the cross, and it's getting closer. Easter is only a couple weeks away, and so we're going to be just walking with Him, see what He has to teach us. You know, when I think about this, I'm getting a little feedback here, Noli. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Might be from the mic that Will used. Can you shut that off? Or is that off?
Yours is the only one on.
Mine's the only one on? Okay. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need Will up here to speak for me. Yes. But, you know, Jesus is preparing His people, His disciples, because He's leaving, you know, so we're always thinking, you know, what is He going to do? How is He going to do this? Because he's going on, He's passing on the torch to His disciples. Well, he's clarifying things for them, you know, how to live for Him and you know, what He gives us to move us along. So, you know, this is a part of that as well in this chapter 15 of John. And we have to remember that the setting of this is it's the Last Supper. You know, the Gospel of John has the longest discourse of the Last Supper. All right, so it travels through two or three chapters anyways, if not four, right? You know, His prayers, His time with the disciples, what was being said, what was being taught. So we're right in the midst of this Last Supper, where they're having communion together, right? And the feet are being washed, even though some are stinkier feet than others. It's things like that. But, you know, and He's teaching and teaching and teaching because He's preparing them for what is to come. You know, I don't know about you, but I like fruit. I like all kinds of fruit. One thing in Thailand, there's fruit that I never even knew about when we lived there, and they would give it to us, and I'd be going, oh, you know, this is a weird-looking thing. Some of them look like you can use them as weapons, you know, like the nga, you know, the little, what is that called, Joy? The naramatans, yeah, they have little spiky, but they look like little sea urchins, I guess, and you can throw them and hit people with them and stuff like that. Now, this one here, this durian fruit, that's dangerous, because if that falls and hits you, I don't know how you're going to be doing, all right? They're heavy, and they're spiky, and you open those things up, and they're even more dangerous, because they smell so bad that they have signs for the airports, you know, going on the plane, and I think hotels and probably other places, instead of no smoking signs, they'll have this fruit on there, no durian, because when you open it up, it smells. What would you say? I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure what it smells like. I'm not going to say either because I might get in trouble. But let's put it this way. It smells so bad that if you brought on a plane and you're up under 40,000 feet, you're going to get a lot of parachuters. All right, coming down. So, you know, this type of thing. So, but, you know, as you look at fruit and things like that, you know, you got your trees or your vines, whatever, but there's branches, and the fruit is produced off these little branches, yeah? And they need to have the nutrients and all these different things to feed them and so they can grow. And we just think about, you know, what Jesus does for us, and He's asking us, He's going to be teaching the disciples a little bit more about this growth that we're going to be going through together, even for us today. And in the beginning, God said this to Adam and Eve, right? He says what? He says, be fruitful and increase in number. See, He wanted us to be fruitful from the very beginning. Right. And then we messed it up, right? Messed it up. Well, you know, he still blessed us, and we're still increasing and being fruitful in that respect. But there's, you know, sometimes we get things wrong, right? And then he also talks about Israel. See, the vine, a vine is another word, especially in the Old Testament, it represents Israel, okay? It's supposed to be something really good because he chose Abraham at first, and then he changed his name to Abraham, right? He chose him to give those promises to. And from Abraham, through his descendants, the blessings and the promises of Christ and salvation are to come through them. Okay? That was the promise. But Israel was not so faithful as a vine. See, in this word, you know, of through the prophet Jeremiah, he says, I had planted you like a choice vine. He's talking to Israel, the nation of Israel, of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt, wild vine? So they lost the focus, or they might not have really ever had it. They were focusing more upon themselves, and then they went on to idol worshiping and other things as well. You know, and they just, had sin problems. And so the vine was not useful. It was not productive. It was not fruitful as God desired. So then, as in here in chapter 15 of John, he says this. The very beginning, Jesus says this. These are all, I don't know about you, but my Bible's all red. These are Jesus' words, all right? And it says, I am the true vine. Well, what is he saying? Well, what he's saying is, you know, God the Father sent him because Israel wasn't able to do it. So he sent a son to be the true vine to all the peoples of the nations throughout history to make everything right. And that's what he did, right? And he said this. It's one of the more important things. It says, remain in me. If you take anything from this today, take this with you forevermore. Jesus' words to each one of us. Remain in me. And when you do that, you'll bear fruit. And you'll bear fruit that will last. And people say, well, fruit doesn't last very long. Well, apples sometimes do. I put them in my crisper, and maybe 2 weeks later, I look at them and go, hey, there's still an apple. I like that. There might be some worms and things like that, but I eat them too. Good protein and fruit. It's good. Very good. You want to try it sometime? But mainly, it won't last that long, but the fruit he's asking us to bear, something is for eternity. And two things last for eternity that I know. It's not taxes and death, all right? There's an ending for those. Hallelujah. Do I hear a hallelujah? Oh, I don't. Do I hear a hallelujah? Because I'm paying my taxes this Monday, and it's a lot. I get to pay the government back this time. All right, but there's two things that I know, and it says in a word. It says the word of God lasts forever, and people last forever. All right, so that's what we invest in, and that's the important thing. That's where we're going to be looking for the fruit. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, your word is powerful. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will move it amongst us. And Lord, that it will bring deep conviction into our own hearts and our own walk with you. And maybe some of us don't even know you. They don't know you as Lord and Savior. And I pray that you'll open hearts and minds to that. Because it is your word that does it. It is your spirit that moves. And Lord, you ask us to believe and remain in you. I pray that you'll bless these words, that your name will receive honor and glory in all of it, Lord. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So there's things, when we look at this, I kind of, sometimes I try to break it down to like three little things. And, you know, when if we want to bear fruit, you know, okay, so Jesus is saying, if you want to bear fruit, you need a gardener, all right? First of all, you need a gardener. And here it says, and my Father is the gardener. So we know if the Father is a gardener, we know he's wise, he's skillful, he understands everything about us, every need that we have, everything. All the weaknesses, all the strengths, everything, all the purposes, he knows everything. So we can trust in that. And yeah, he gets those little snippers out, right? He gets those snippers out. Because he wants us to bear more fruit. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone that for flowers or fruit trees or whatever, and snip them off because you want them to do what?
Produce.
Even more than before. So you're always looking, you know, God desires that for us. And, you know, actually, if you look at John chapter 10:10, it says that he wants us to have a life. And that to the full, right? Abundant life. He so desires to see us live a fruitful life. And so he takes those little pruners out, and boop, 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 and people say, what's pruning? What does that mean? Well, another word of it, if you look at it, it's cleansing. So he cleanses us. And some people say, oh, maybe another word is refines us. He refines us. There's things in our lives, you know, that we hold on to and we're not ready to give up. But God's saying, my plan for you is to bear fruit and fruit that will last and bear much fruit. Not a little bit, much fruit. And so he starts clipping away. And he starts cleansing things out of our hearts that we've had there before, some things that we coveted before, or we're trying to keep hidden from God, and we can't really. We can hide them from other people, maybe, but from God, you can't. And so he constantly is perfecting us, constantly pruning us and cleansing us to transform our lives to be a productive branch in him. So he cuts off every branch in me, and that's what this is Jesus' words, that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Oh, there we are, right? He cuts off branches too, doesn't he? And Israel was cut off. Israel rejected, unwilling to follow him, to receive Christ as their Messiah. And so the branches, even back then in Old Testament, before that, were being pruned, being cut off. And we'll talk a little bit later about that, but it's something that we have to watch out for. Also, if you look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the what? World that what? Yes. So now he takes these wild branches or vines and he grafts them. Have you ever grafted a vine or a branch into another tree? You know, some people are pretty skillful at that. I've seen it, you know, where people will take something, you know, a branch that's, you know, very productive or something, and they'll graft it into this tree to help it out, and then, boom, starts producing fruit. We are that wild vine. He grafted us in through Christ. And that, you know, this is his word. This is the gardener, his skill, his plan. Remember that blueprint? He has that blueprint. So he's grafted us into the life-giving, true vine of Christ Jesus. And that is wonderful. And I can talk about that all day long, and Sam was trying to do that this morning. The wonders of it all. His righteousness and all he provides for us. But also, there are other type of branches. And I call it the Judas branch. Because if you turned your Bibles back there to chapter 13 and look at verse 30, he just got through washing feet and they're talking, doing communion together and stuff like that. And I think it was verse 30, maybe I'm wrong. Where am I? I wrote that down and I'm not even sure where it is. But what I'm trying to get at here is this. Judas left that table, that communion together. And when he left, he went out in the dark. So it was a dark time when he did that. It was nighttime. He left the fellowship. And that was the start of it. You know, Jesus knew his heart. He was one of them. For 3 years, Judas was a part of the group of 12 disciples, seeing all these different things, all the miracles, hearing all the teachings, hearing Jesus' prayers and all that, seeing him walk on the water, and yet he leaves to betray Jesus. So his heart was falling off of the vine. He's going to be cut off. And if you look at verse 6, it kind of describes the process there. It says, if you do not remain in me, and you can say like Judas, then this is what happens. You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And as a caution, as a strong warning, for there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if we do not remain in him, this is the outcome. And he is just and he is fair. And we know his heart is that, you know, it's some people say he's so slow. What's going on with all of his promises? Why doesn't he do it? He says, well, he's slow on purpose because he cares for us, right? And he wants give everybody a chance to repent. See, that's where his heart is. He wants all to be saved. He's looking for that. So he's not really slow in that respect, but he's patient because he loves us, everybody. And so these branches that are starting to fall off the vine, he's trying to, you know, he desires that they stay in. And even if they fall off like a Judas, he still had an opportunity while he was still living to get grafted back into that vine. But he chose not to. Because his heart was never really in the vine. He never knew the true life. Are you there today? Do you remain in Jesus? Or are you just pretending? Like a Judas. See, he had that opportunity to come to Jesus because he knew who he is. He'd heard all his teachings. He could have come to Jesus and said, forgive me, Jesus. And he would have been forgiven. See, Peter wasn't any better. Peter, I think, was even worse. stepping away of Jesus many times, saying things, you know, showing some type of attitude, denying Jesus three times. And his other disciples weren't all that great either, running away and abandoning him, things like that. So, you know, that's not the issue of the what happened. It's just what happened at the end before they went. You know, that's where when Peter saw Jesus on the shore, he just jumped in water and started swimming to him. He was so excited to see Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus restored him, forgave him. See, if Peter decided to go to Judas' route, he would have just stayed out in a boat and went out further. I'm done with you, Jesus. I'm not good enough for you. A lot of people think that they're not good enough for Jesus. And you're right. You're not good enough. You're not worthy. You aren't. It is by God's precious love, right? That unmerited favor, undeserving favor he gives us called grace. It's by grace alone that we are saved, by his love alone for us. We can't do anything for it. But we can believe his words when we hear them. And our lives will change because it comes in power. So for Judas, I feel sorry for him. I really do. I always, whenever, because I want Judas to be saved like the rest. Because I feel like I'm a Judas sometimes. In fact, I don't know how many times I betrayed Jesus. But I just praise the Lord that he gave, you know, by his grace, I say, just come back to him. And because there was a relationship, I was in the vine, even though I was probably a weak branch. But he allowed me to come back and get restored, and he strengthens me. He strengthened me. As time went on, and I grew and grew, and ups and downs of the walk of faith, or you're going up high and you're on the mountaintop like Elijah, and then you're going down and running away like Elijah into a cave, fearful of somebody else. But God is faithful all the time, and he doesn't leave us or forsake us. He doesn't go, you're not good enough. He just stands there on the cross. When he's on the cross, his arms are wide open. And he's saying, come. Come to me. I'll forgive you. I'll restore you. And I'm going to work a new thing on you. You remain in me, and you're going to produce fruit. Fruit that will last. And we just go, well, how is this? Because you said I can't do and do and do and do and do. No, you can't. You can try. You can, you know, there's like what we're saying this morning. There's a lot of good people, a lot of people doing good things. But God isn't really impressed with those things. He's impressed with his plan. He's got his plan. He wants us to produce fruit following his plan. And that means impacting the lives of the people for his kingdom. You know, the fruit. And this fruit, we can't produce it on our own. And that's where this power comes from. And the people call it the Holy Spirit. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Why? Because in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, his teachings remain in you, his life-giving sustenance of his word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Cedar production. Look at all that. I remember going to the Thai markets. Wow. You go to the Thai market, you know, it's outside, stuff like that. You go in there and just fruits all over the place. And they are cheap compared to here, a lot cheaper. And all various kinds of fruit, just depending on what you like. You know, so productive. The land there is so productive. And you know, the soil is good. And the environment, the atmosphere, the humidity, the warmth, you know, year-round, you know, it's so good for the growth of these fruits. Banana trees we would cut down. And what, about 3 months later, maybe six months later, they're growing up and starting to produce again. I'm going, what? I just cut this thing down. I got too many bananas. I can't get rid of them. My neighbor's got bananas. My across the street got bananas. Everybody's got bananas. I can't eat all these bananas. I like bananas, but I couldn't eat them. And they weren't my Chiquita bananas that I like. These were other kind of bananas, which were still good. They were still good. They had a lot of, I don't know how many kinds of bananas they had in Thailand. Many, many. But see, God wants us to produce fruit, but He's going to be to supply that power. The Holy Spirit's going to produce, you know, help us produce that fruit. And it looks different, you know, and this is just a little bit, right? You know the fruit of the Spirit, right? In Galatians, what's the first fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-discipline. You know, all those other ones are pretty good, but that self-discipline kind of cuts me to the, I go, self-discipline. Yeah, so somebody laughing at me. Why? Self-discipline. You know, and as we were talking about sin the other day, and sin is really, if you, okay, back there in Exodus, you're out there leaving Egypt, and, you know, God met him on a mountain, and there's 10 commandments. He gave those 10 commandments, right? Well, now, as Jesus walked the earth, he put those 10 commandments in two greatest commandments. Do you remember those? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, soul, you know that. And love your neighbor as yourself. So when you miss that mark, missing the mark, right? Coming short of that by something at CEF training, we would say, what do you think and speak and do? And I say even attitude. Falls short of that love, well, you sinned. And I tell you something, when I hear that, I kind of go, even my thoughts. When I'm driving down a road and somebody cuts me off, I'm going, all these little plans. Yeah, John knows that. He's probably got missiles on his truck, right? Just, boom, boom, bye, have a good day. You know, that type of stuff, right? That's what you want. So you're killing how many people? Oh, about 30 today. And that last one was good. It felt good. See, you know, but he gives us a spirit of love and joy and peace and peace. And then he gives us that spirit of self-discipline. And see, we don't have to go that way. So when we start starting to get a little unhappy and you're starting to go that way and starting to think, you can go, oh no, no, I'm Christ. I give this to you before it even buds into sin. So you can produce sin. You don't want to. You don't want it to bud out into something like that because it's an ugly fruit. It's a fruit that's deformed and messy and smelly. You can't even touch it or eat it. Just fall apart in your hand. So it's like some of the fruit that fallen on the ground for a couple months. You try to pick it up, it just dissolves in your hand. It's something no good. So he wants to produce fruit that will last in us. And the Holy Spirit does that. All these things, repentance, and the fruit of light is goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, that's the fruit of light. There's the fruit of the lips of praise, right? There's prayer, you know, and back there in 15, a little bit later on there, it's talking about, hey, you know, whatever you ask, you know, so that whatever you ask my name, the Father will give you. See, when we're remaining in the vine and we're getting fed and we're growing and we're producing fruit, prayer is a part of that. And you know what? You'll know who you are, right, by the fruit you're producing. And you'll see other people producing fruit too, and they might be producing that smelly fruit, that yucky fruit. But you can see it, right? So you can tell where you're at with God. Sometimes you're producing that type of fruit, and then you go, whoa, what am I doing? And then you come to God, and you ask for forgiveness. And you ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to move you away from that, to change you, transform you, transform me. See, true vines, there in verse 8, it says, this is to my, you know, Jesus' words, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. He's glorified in that. When we bear much fruit in his name. Remain in me, he says, and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And lastly, you know, you got to have a good gardener if you want to bear fruit, right? And you need some power. You need that fertile soil, and that's the Holy Spirit in your life. You got to have that. Ask for him. Ask that he just come in and just do new things in your life. Invite him daily. Invite him to do things new in your life. And then you need a life-giving sun. I don't know of too many fruit plants that can produce without sun. You know, usually like in greenhouses or things like that, they have some type of a light that acts like the sun, right? And they have the heat and all that stuff needed, but that sun is so important for plants and for us. I don't think we could survive without it either. I know I couldn't. If I lived somewhere where it was cloudy all the time, I'd probably just shrivel up and just throw me in the fire. Put it out there. Life-giving sun. And that's Jesus himself. See, it says there in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. See, if you want to show love to God, you need to follow his commands. You need to obey his commands. That's how you show love. That's how you show love. Throughout the history of all the Bible, all these people walking in faith, they followed his commands. Noah followed his commands. He built that ark, even though it was silly. But it wasn't. In the very end, it was life-saving. You know, Abraham could have just said, no, God, you're just too slow in giving me this special son. But no, he kept on going and trusting and obeying God. And then he was given this wonderful son at the age of 100 years old. Woo! I don't know about you, but that's old for me. Even now, I'd be going, what? So he wants us to remain in that love. It's so critical. That's why Jesus wrapped those 10 commandments up in 2 commandments of love. Because that's what it's about. That's what it's about, really. Love. And so when we fall short of that, you know, our fruit isn't producing well. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Yeah, there's a joyfulness. And when you're producing fruit, and it's good fruit, you know, and like I said, you don't even, might even know what's going on in you, but you just notice some changes. I used to get mad at that, or I used to say these things, or I used to watch those type of movies all the time, or things like that, you know, and just kind of, now I don't do that as much anymore. I haven't done anything different, except for now I don't have that urge anymore. I don't have that urge anymore to cuss that person out. Use those words. Well, I don't have that urge anymore to take that money under the table. I don't have that urge anymore. There's something going on in me. Yeah, that's what's going on. The life-giving Son is at work in you, the one who died for you. Each one of us, he says, you know what? Yeah. You're in trouble because you're in the court of the Father, the Holy Father, and He is perfect and you are not. So you're in trouble. And Jesus says, Dad, hey, I'll take it on. I'll take the penalty on. The death penalty is on them. I'll take their death penalty. I'll take it. I'll take it for you. I'll take for each one of these. And the Father says, I am pleased with you, Son. And do as you say. And He did it for each one of us so we can be grafted into this beautiful vine of a life that's not an ordinary life anymore. We are not ordinary people. If you are a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are not an ordinary person anymore. You're of a new person, a new creation. You have a new purpose, a new meaning in your life. You have everlasting life as your hope and inheritance. You are supercharged with the Holy Spirit. You are more than a superhero, more than Spider-Man, more than Batman, more than Superman, more than any of those guys. And you're laughing probably, and so I go, yeah. But no, we're not of this world anymore. We don't need this world anymore. We have something that's waiting. You know, when Christ comes back, yeah, He died for us. But another thing, what He did, you know what He did? He rose again on a third day because death couldn't even hold Him down because He is the author of life. Death was broken by the cross of Christ. A lot of people go, oh, Jesus died on the cross. Oh, so sorry. But I'm going, yes! Thank you, Jesus! The victory is in Christ alone. You broke death. The only weapon that really hurt us from the enemy, that's Satan. He broke that and destroyed it. He beat the enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy each one of us. He won. The victory is ours. We are now in a true vine, and we got life, life everlasting that no one can take away from us. No one. Nothing. Though there's a lot of lies out there. A lot of lies. A lot of people saying, oh, I can't believe it. I just don't know. But you know what? Believe it. And be saved in it. And be fruitful in it. For, you know what? What's even more wonderful, too, about all this? We have a friend forever in Christ Jesus. Because it says here, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down my life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. Woo. I no longer call you servants. Because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I know I didn't. I wouldn't have chosen Jesus. I was choosing me, my life, my desires, my ambitions. No, he chose you, and he chose me. And you know, I just chose. He says, and I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. See, he's given us a purpose. He's not only chose you, but he says, now go, Dave, go. Bear fruit. And what kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask my name, Father will give it. This is my command. Love each other. So he does all these things. Friends forever. A lot of people are so lonely. You just need a good friend. Well, Jesus is the best friend you can ever have. I know. I have been in the lonely spots in this world. I have. I know what it feels like to have those walls pressing in and it's dark and you just feel like you're all alone. I know what it's like. But I didn't know Jesus yet as my friend. But now I have him as my friend. I don't have that loneliness. I have a joy. In the quiet, I have joy. In the craziness, I have joy. So his words go out, remain in me and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And people say, well, what does that mean? Well, live a thankful life and be willing. Be willing to believe. Be willing to give your life. Follow. That's what a disciple is. You know, all of you have come here for a reason. You know, I don't believe there's no coincidence in this world. It's God's sovereignty, his providence, how he works things out. You're here for a reason today. And he's working in you. He says, open your hearts, receive me. Forgive, ask for forgiveness of sins and receive me. This is a sincere heart. And he says, and go and bear fruit. The fruit looks different. And sometimes it's what? Opening a door for somebody, showing kindness. Sometimes it's giving somebody a word of blessing. Sometimes it's just prayer for people that you know that need help, that need the Lord. Or they need to be healed in some way or whatever, you know, just all these different things. Sometimes it's just a little note you write. Sometimes it's just a smile, like Marilyn was saying the other day, just saying, hi, try Jesus. Lives get changed because the Holy Spirit's always at work. Your testimonies, I'm bearing fruit. Why? How? Who? Because of Jesus. Because what he's done in my life. He's my friend. Look what he did for me. He died for me. And he rose again. And then you grow. As we remain in him, we flourish. We flourish in his word. We flourish in him. And our lives are changed to where we can't stop telling people about Jesus. And he gives us the boldness to do that. And we have that wonderful fellowship of the friend of Jesus with us wherever we go. So, Jesus' words to each one of us is, remain in me. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the reminders, and also the challenge that there might be a lot of new things going on here too. Lord, open our hearts to your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw us to yourself, to those who know you. May we walk a closer walk where we're bearing even more fruit as you work in our lives. pruning us and cleansing us and changing us. And those who have not, who don't know you yet as Lord and Savior, that their hearts would be open to this greatest gift of all. And that is you, Jesus. That wonderful grace that we are saved by faith. So, Lord, bless each one here. May these words go forth and produce much fruit in us. And that your name be honored and glorified in all of this. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. All of his people say, amen. Amen.